Morning, church.
Morning.
If you want to follow along in your Bibles, we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 30. Otherwise, you can follow up on the screen here. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
It is definitely a blessing to be here this morning. The reason why is because we get to worship our God in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
God has definitely been good to us. Some days are better than others, but for the most part, God is always good, so our days will definitely be good. We've been in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to be this morning. I keep saying evening. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. But we've been going through Ephesians, and we've been seeing how he's been speaking on the theological level. He's given us the nature of God and who he is and what he's about, tell us how we can be saved and different things of that nature. Also, I always mess something up. Always. But there's also another thing. We just stay focused on Scripture. There's another thing that we can also that he's been taking us through the letter to the Ephesians. He's been teaching us the theology of God, the nature of God, who he is, what he represents, how we can be saved, the different blessings that we receive and that we have access to when we are in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and gives him that more of that theology, that style of teaching. But then he moves on in chapter 4, and then he starts talking about the more practical side of things, how to walk in Christ Jesus. How are we supposed to speak to one another in love? How are we serving one another in that love and in that kindness? It has definitely given us that practical application of the Scriptures. But this morning, in chapter 4, verses 17 through 32, he wants these converts, the church here in Ephesus, he wants them to understand this one, he wants them to make this one main connection. And that main connection is the mind will reveal how the Spirit walks. He wants them to make that connection, and he wants us to make that connection today as well. And for the rest of our lives, he wants us to make that connection. That connection is the mind will reveal how the Spirit walks. Well, what do you mean? How does it reveal itself? How does it manifest itself? And if you look at chapter 4, verse 5, look at chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 5 says, one Lord, he says, there is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you also have been called, and one hope of your calling. Verse 5 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all who is over all and through all and all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So what? Why does it matter? How will the mind reveal how the Spirit walks? Well, he's going to reveal that to us, our spirit, and how the mind works and walks through our doctrine and teaching and the truth. And that's what he's saying there in chapter 4, verse 5. He's letting us know there is only one body, there is only one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, all those things, and Christ has given us those gifts. And that's major that we understand that way in that form of teaching. And it's major because not everyone will come with that form of teaching. And I'm not saying this is a Church of Christ thing. I'm not saying this is a brother. I'm not doing it. It is a Scripture. It is a believer. If you follow Christ Jesus and you believe in him, then this word is going to be the only teaching that you need. So if you're not in the word or in the Scriptures, we can't follow you. You know what I mean? We can't follow you, is what he's saying. So he says that the mind will definitely reveal how the Spirit walks in its teachings. And what does that mean? When, again, how does it manifest itself? Well, look at chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for equipping of the saints of the work of service to build up the body of Christ. And so we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure, the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children driven and tossed by the every wave of doctrine, by the trickery of men and craftiness in the deceitful scheming, but speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects in Christ, he says. Go to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Again, why is it so important that we stick to this teaching? It's so important because not everyone is going to come with the teaching that comes with the Scripture. This is the only teaching we need. Amen?
Amen?
Christ Jesus says, you don't need this teaching and that teaching and what you formerly learned or what you heard from different individuals. But he says, what you can learn from Scripture, this teaching will definitely have value in this life, but also in the life to come. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says this. And this is why it's important to know the teaching of Christ Jesus. He says in verse 5, but the goal of our instruction is to love from a pure heart. It's to love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Why? Because some men, verse 6, for some men straying from these things, they have turned aside to fruitless discussion. They talk about things that don't even matter. Like, who would do that? Who would talk about some things that just don't matter? Well, this where he goes on and says, they want to be teachers of the law, even though they have not understood. He says they don't understand what they speak, and they say they don't understand the matters of what they speak on, and they confidently assert these things. And then in verse 8, he says that we know the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Verse 9 says, realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly, the sinners, and the unholy, the profane. And then he goes on in verse 11, says, according to the glorious, he says, this is for immoral men, and the kidnappers, the liars, the perjurers, whatever is contrary, the homosexual is contrary to this sound of teaching. So again, he says, what is this teaching that we are about, that we are saved, and what? How can we be saved and have eternal life in Christ Jesus? He says, this teaching in this form of doctrine. Well, how do I know I'm walking right? How do we know we're walking right? He says, the mind and the knowledge of this scriptures will depict and show how the Spirit is walking. So how do you know how your Spirit's walking? Well, the knowledge that you have of the Scriptures. Well, how do I know it's right? Because if someone can't lead you back to the Word of God, we can't follow it. Amen? We can't follow it. So again, back to Ephesians chapter 4, he says, this word is going, verse 12, is going to equip us, the saints, for work of service, and we all want to be in the work of service. We all want to build up the body of Christ Jesus, and that's why it's so important that we understand and know the doctrine of Christ Jesus and by the name of which we are saved. That's the main point. He has the main connection. He wants these Gentile converts to grasp. But that's the main concept and reality and understanding that he wants us to grasp, is that there is only one teaching. There is only one doctrine. What is that? It's the truth in Christ Jesus. And that's how we grow in that Spirit and in truth. So again, the mind will reveal how the Spirit walks. But not only in our doctrine, but the mind will also reveal how the Spirit walks in our emotional capacity. Look at verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17. He says this. It says, so this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you know that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind. Verse 18, being darkened in their understanding, they are excluded from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. So look at these words right here. Look at the end of verse 17. He says, the futility of their mind. Then verse 18, being darkened in their understanding. What is our understanding in our mind? He's talking about the mind, this knowledge that we have to grasp and that we have to understand. And then he goes on in verse 18. He says, the end of verse 18, he says, the hardness of their heart. Well, what does that mean? Well, he's talking about the emotional, this emotional hardness is what he's talking about. This emotional hardness is going to reveal a whole lot, because he says, he goes on, it says, when the hardness of your heart, emotionally, when this emotional hardness happens, and I want us to really relate to this, because I think every one of us in this room has gone through this emotional hardness at some point in time. And as we go through this emotional hardness, we have to find where we left off. We have to understand and the knowledge of our understanding and wisdom, so we don't fall into that and remain in that state of mind. Because if we remain in that hardness of mind, verse 17 says we'll have the futility of our mind. And then he goes on and says that we will be darkened in our understanding if we continue in this emotional hardness. But look what this emotional hardness leads to, the hardness of the heart. Verse 19, and they having become callous, they have given themselves over to sensuality. And then in context, this word literally means a sexual immoralness. This is sexual immoral nature. So he says our emotions become hardened. So we become hard emotionally. And then we continue down this road seeking something. I don't know what it is that you may have been seeking or what we seek after, but maybe it's something that you lost emotionally. Maybe it's something that this control, or maybe it's this authority that you want to grab back, or that you want to receive back to yourself, and you try to find it in different aspects of life, in different ways and forms and fashions. But there's this emotional hardness, he says, and that we're trying to find and trying to feel through this sensuality. And then he says, after once you're in that and you continue, he says, you practice of every kind of impurity. So as you continue down this emotional hardness, then you continue in this, you start practicing these things. And then the scripture says you go into this impurity. So then you practice this impure lifestyle, and you keep going down the road. And then as you go down the road of impurity, then you get greedy in this impurity and in the sensuality that you've been practicing. So then you just keep going down the line, and then we just keep getting darker and darker and darker. Has anybody in here ever been emotionally distressed? Hurt? Amen, right? And then we try to figure out where we're going with our life. We try to understand how can I feel this emotion? How can I feel, you know what, I'm going to fulfill it through this sensuality. I'm going to fulfill it by if I do these things, then hopefully I'll just keep going through the motions until I start feeling right. And then we get in this practice, we become more impure, then we become impure in this greediness. Now I can't be satisfied through these emotions that I'm trying to satisfy. I can't even be satisfied in that because I'm greedy. I become more callous, and then it just keeps going, and I get deeper, and my understanding's gone. That's scripture. So what are we looking for? What are we looking for emotionally? And then it goes on in verse 20 says, but you did not learn Christ in this way. We didn't learn Christ in what way? What are you talking about? Jesus, you gotta break some of this down. What are you talking about? We didn't learn Christ in this way. Let's backtrack it. You didn't learn Christ in greediness. Look at your scriptures. Look at that verse. Look at verse 19. Look at that word greediness. He says, verse 20 says, but you did not learn Christ in that way. What way? In greediness. You didn't learn Christ in greediness. Backtrack it. You didn't learn Christ with this impure nature. Keep going. He says, you didn't learn Christ through the practice of sensuality. You didn't learn Christ in those ways. You didn't learn Christ from a callous heart. He says, you didn't learn Christ from the hardness of your heart. How did we learn Christ? He says, you learned Christ through the truth and the spirit and the knowledge of what? The Word. That's how we learn Christ Jesus. He says, how did you learn Christ? You didn't learn Him in these things. You didn't learn Him in the darkening of your mind. You didn't learn Him. You didn't learn Christ in the sensuality. You didn't learn Him in greed. You didn't learn Him through the impure practices. Well, how did we learn Christ? Verse 21 says, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, verse 21 says. Verse 22, that is reference to your former manner of life. Oh, so this is talking about a form. You lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. So what did we used to be, God? What did I used to be? Let's drop back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 says, among them too, all of us in this room, you formerly lived in the lust of your flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. What was I, God? You were indulging in the flesh. You weren't doing the things that you were supposed to be doing. You didn't learn me in that way. You didn't learn Christ in that way. By nature, I was a children of wrath, but verse 4 comes and says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his love, that he loved us. Okay, so there we go. And then drop down to chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ just for good works, which God prepared before, so that we would walk in them, so that we would live in the good works, would live in his Son. Jump back to chapter 4 of Ephesians now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. He says, and that you being renewed by the Spirit of the mind. Whoa, that's how we found Christ Jesus. That's how we learned Christ Jesus. We knew where we were. We knew what we formerly were. And then we started moving forward. And guess what happened? The renewing of the mind. He says, and that you being renewed in the spirit of the mind. Again, this is a mental game, he says. Not a game, but it's mental, he says. The spirit of the mind, in verse 24, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's how we learn God in the holiness of the truth. That's how we learn God in the holiness of the truth. We learn God through the spirit of the mind. And then go on, let's drop back and let's see. Say amen if you want to learn how we learn Christ. Let's learn. How do we learn Christ? Go back to chapter 1 of Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 17. Chapter 1, verse 17. How did we learn Christ Jesus? Okay, I'm trying to calm down right now. Let me get hyped up. He says, that God our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you and me a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God. That's how we learn Christ Jesus. Verse 18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so the eyes of our heart were enlightened, so that we knew his calling. That's how we learn God. How do we learn God? We understood that we were inherent in him. That's how we learn God. How do we learn God? He says, verse 19, you learned of his surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might that he brought about in Christ's death. That's how we learn Christ Jesus. Amen. That's how we learn him. That's how we learn Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, he brought peace, he brought love, he brought kindness, he brought his blessings with him. That was some stuff that we couldn't get a hold of when we were living in that former life of the lust and the desires of our own hearts, and we couldn't make it out. Oh, boy. But we learned Christ through the spirit of the mind and truth and the holiness of the truth. And thanks be to God, we can have eternal life now. But not only did we... Not only will the mind reveal how the Spirit walks in the doctrine of the truth, not only will the Spirit, will the mind reveal how the Spirit walks in our emotional capacity, but also in our verbal affirmation. The mind will reveal how the Spirit walks in our verbal affirmation. Look what he says in verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, that's talking about the old self again, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speaking truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. I think that's major. Has anybody in here ever gossiped about anybody before? Amen if you've ever gossiped about anybody. Amen. Amen. You haven't? Amen. We've all gossiped about somebody at some point in time. We have. And this is what he says. He says, in our verbal affirmation, here's what we have got to learn and what we have got to do. Verse 25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speaking truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one body. It's tough to speak love. Ooh, sorry, let me take a break for a second. It is tough to speak love at times to your brothers and sisters in Christ, especially if they wronged you in any type of way. And in context, the Gentile converts, these are new Christians, these are new converts in Christ Jesus, and they're in the church. They're trying to learn the way of Christ in the church at this time, and they're learning, they're switching over the whole way of life to how Christ wants them to live and how they should walk, no longer in the futility of their mind, no longer in the darkening of their understanding, no longer in the sensuality, but they've learned Christ in truth. And their spirits have been renewed in the mind. And then he goes on in verse 25 and says, therefore lay aside all that falsehood of which you used to be. Speak truth to each other, to your neighbor, for we are members of one another. I am of you and you are of me, and we are in Christ Jesus. He says we have got to shower one another with this love, and speaking truth, speaking the word to one another. And then verse 26 says, be angry. Some of y'all are like, amen. Be angry. That's not, hold up. That's not what he's talking about. And he says, be angry and yet do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. So again, we heard about the teachings that Christ has. Amen? We know the teachings of Christ. And sometimes these teachings of Christ don't always fit in the lifestyle that we should be living, right? Sometimes those teachings of Christ, they don't fit in the lifestyle. Or sometimes we see how our brothers and sisters are living, and it's like, oh, you just irritate me. But he says, this is a righteous anger. He says, be angry. This is a righteous anger. This is an angry. This is being angry for seeing the gospel of Christ Jesus being perverted. Again, we saw back in 1 Timothy where these men are, First Timothy says, for some men are straying from these things, the truth, having turned aside the fruitless discussion. They're wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about what they are confidently asserting. So he says, they talk about the law, they say what's good, they say what's bad, and they really don't even know what they're talking about. So we do know and understand that there are people who will pervert the gospel of Christ Jesus. We know that. And that should make us angry. When we see sin running rampant or in the church or the gospel being perverted in the church, that should make us angry. However, he says, we're members of one another. He says, there are going to be those moments where we are angry, but yet do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Verse 27, and do not give the devil an opportunity to play with the minds and the hearts of these individuals who may not receive the gospel with full understanding of the mind. And then verse 28 says, he who steals must no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need. Then he goes on 29, again, this verbal affirmation that we were talking about. This is how the mind will definitely tell how the spirit is walking. Verse 29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. Can you imagine how quiet? If we only spoke words that only built up and never tore down, do you realize how quiet of a place this would be? If we only spoke words uplifting one another, wouldn't that be a lovely place? Everywhere you go, you ain't got nothing bad to tell me. You just got to tell me some good stuff make me feel good about some things. And then we go in and he says, so we're speaking truth. This isn't just anything good. This isn't just how you're doing. You look pretty today. You look nice. He says, I'm going to tell you something beyond that. He says, I want to tell you something good. I'm going to tell you something about the word, the way we learn Christ Jesus in truth. That's what I want to tell you about, he says. So he says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for the edification to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Amazing. Amazing. So again, the spirit, the mind will definitely reveal how the spirit is walking in this verbal affirmation. It gives grace to those who hear. Has anybody ever in here been down, been sad, lonely, beat up by the word? Maybe your spouse is going through some things. Times get hard. Maybe your best friend. Things going, man, your significant others. Things just don't always go according to plan. Life does happen. Amen?
Amen.
Life happens. And sometimes the ones that you love the most are the ones we're tearing down. And we don't have room for that. That's giving the devil an opportunity, Scripture says. And then it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Well, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? By not speaking truth, by not speaking the Spirit and the truth to individuals that are members of the body. This is all Scripture. We can all back it up right here. There's this verse 31 says, let all bitterness. Some of us got bitter in here. Some of us got bitterness in here. Some of us got bitterness. Some of us have wrath. Some of us got anger and clamor and slander. And guess what he says? He says, put it away from you along with all malice. We don't have time. The day is drawing near. He's saying, Quentin, if you ain't got something good to say about your family that you love, then keep your mouth shut. Are you going to say amen to the Quentin thing? Oh, I got you. No, I'm playing. But oh, you want to single me out? Oh, you single yourself out. But seriously, he says, put away all that from you, all the malice. And then he says, 32, he says, Quentin, be kind. Insert your name. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. Ooh, forgiving each other. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's grace. Because every one of us in this room knows we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior. We don't deserve to be here worshiping our King. And the only way we are able to do so is because we are in Christ Jesus. That's a blessing. There's no way any of us in here, by our good works, can we boast. No one in here, because of the money we make, can come to God and say, I deserve to worship you, and I can stand in your presence. Not one of us in this room can stand in the presence of God and live. Not one. But only in Christ Jesus can we remain in His presence so that we can speak love, that we can bask in His love, that we can have all the blessings flowing out of our mouth, speaking to one another in love, doing for one another, forgiving one another, loving one another, being kind to one another. Man, it's like we're homesick for a place we've never been. But he says the spirit, the mind will definitely reveal how your spirit walks. How? In the way that we speak, in the doctrine of truth that we live by, and also in the emotional capacity that we possess. Only in Christ Jesus can we have all and attain all of this. And what is the purpose of all of this, he says? Chapter 4, verse 1, I'm going to read. He says, therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy or vocation, worthy of the calling of which you've been called, with all humility, gentleness, and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's our whole purpose. If you didn't get it then, he says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple of the Lord. Why? In whom you also are being built together, he's talking about us, being built together into a dwelling of God. We are being built into a dwelling of God. How? In the Spirit. How? Only in Christ Jesus. Only in Christ Jesus. So I want us to examine our lives and where we're at. I want you to examine your life and where you are located in Christ Jesus. Where are you? Where are you located? In Christ. Are we following his teachings? Or have we strayed away from those and we are teaching and talking about things that are fruitless? Are we following Christ in our speech? With that verb, that love, that verbal affirmation, speaking truth to one another in love? What about our emotional capacity? Are we gaining the knowledge that we need to have so that we can know, not only know Christ on an emotional level, but knowing him on an intellectual level, so that when our emotions become callous at that, because they will become callous at some point in time, when your emotions become callous, will you remember and remain and know why you serve God? When your emotions are callous and hard, will you? He says, you got to know, because when your emotions flow up and down, will the truth still remain? Our emotions go up, emotions go down, they turn all around, jump everywhere. But the truth of the gospel and the truth of our understanding and that doctrine does not change at all. So if we're emotionally callous, he says, you have the truth that you learned in the Spirit, in the renewing of the mind. So if you have need to come back to that spirit of truth, that spirit of understanding, that knowledge of Christ Jesus, then now is the time to do so. And why not now? Why wait? I think the Snickers. Why wait? Why wait? God is good. And again, we don't have forever to get this right. We don't have forever to get this right. So if you have a need this morning and you want to accept Christ Jesus, or you want to come back around and be in Christ Jesus, come to that knowledge of truth, that understanding that we may have fallen away from, now is the time before it's everlasting too late. So if you have a need this morning of encouragement, if you have a need to sing God's praises, now is the time as we stand and sing as our song of encouragement is sung.